Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 13, entitled Dhritarashtra Quits Home, Text 30. Patim prayantam subalasya putri. Pati vrata chanu jagama sadvi. Himalayam nyasta danda prahasam. Manasvinam eva sat samprahara. Patim prayantam subalasya putri. Pati vrata chanu jagama sadvi. Himalayam nyasta danda prahasam. Manasvinam eva sat samprahara. Patim prayantam subalasya putri. Pati vrata chanu jagama sadvi. Himalayam nasta danda prahasam. Manasvinam eva sat samprahara. Patim. Her husband. Prayantam. While leaving home. Subalasya. Of King Subala. Putri. The worthy daughter. Pativrata. Devoted to her. Husband. Cha. Also. Anujagama, followed. Sadhi, the chaste. Himalayam, towards the Himalaya mountains. Nastadanda, one who has accepted the rod of the renounced order. Prahasam, object of delight. Manasvina, of the great fighters. Eva, like. Sat, legitimate. Samprahara, good lashing. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, Esa Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. The gentle and chaste Gandhari, who was the daughter of King Subala of Kandahar, or Gandhara, followed her husband, seeing that he was going to the Himalaya mountains, which are the delight of those who have accepted the staff of the renounced order, like fighters who have accepted a good lashing from the enemy. Please repeat. The gentle and chaste Gandhari, who was the daughter of King Subala, of Kandahar, or Gandhara, followed her husband, seeing that he was going to the Himalaya mountains, which are the delight of those who have accepted the staff of the renounced order, like fighters who have accepted a good lashing from the enemy. Purport. Saubalini, or Gandhari, daughter of King Sabala and wife of King Dhritarashtra, was ideal as a wife devoted to her husband. The Vedic civilization especially prepares chaste and devoted wives, of whom Gandhari is one amongst many mentioned in history. Lakshmiji Sita Devi was also a daughter of a great king, but she followed her husband, Lord Ramachandra, into the forest. Similarly, as a woman, Gandhari could have remained at home or at her father's house, but as a chaste and gentle lady, she followed her husband without consideration. Instructions for the renounced order of life were imparted to Dhritarashtra by Vidura, and Gandhari was by the side of her husband. But he did not ask her to follow him because he was at that time fully determined, like a great warrior who faces all kinds of dangers in the battlefield. He was no longer attracted to so-called wife or relatives, and he decided to start alone. But as a chaste lady, Gandhari decided to follow her husband till the last moment. Maharaj Dhritarashtra accepted the order of Vanaprastha, and at this stage the wife is allowed to remain as a voluntary servitor. But in the sannyas stage, no wife can stay with her former husband. A sannyasi is considered to be a dead man civilly, and therefore the wife becomes a civil widow without connection with her former husband. Maharaj Dhritarashtra did not deny his faithful wife, and she followed her husband at her own risk. The sannyasis accept the rod as the sign of the renounced order of life. There are two types of sannyasis: those who follow the Mayavadi philosophy, headed by Sripad Sankaracharya, accept only one rod, Ekadanda, but those who follow the Vaishnavite philosophy accept three combined rods, Tridanda. The Mayavadi sannyasis are Ekadandi Swamis, whereas the Vaishnava sannyasis are known as Tridandi Swamis, or more distinctly, Tridandi Goswamis, in order to be distinguished from the Mayavadi philosophers. The Ekadandi Swamis are mostly fond of the Himalayas, but the Vaishnava sannyasis are fond of Vrindavan and Puri. The Vaishnava sannyasis are Narottamas, whereas the Mayavadi sannyasis are Dheeras. Maharaj Dhritarashtra was advised to follow the Dheeras because at that stage it was difficult for him to become a Narottama. Translation: a gentle and chaste Gandhari, who was the daughter of King Subala of Kandahar, or Gandhara, followed her husband, seeing that he was going to the Himalayan mountains, which are the delight of those who have accepted the staff of the renounced order, like fighters who have accepted a good lashing from the enemy. Om Ajnana Chamanda Shema Gamanjana Salavana Chakshu Umba Chamvena Tasmanda Gadavena Mahas Mukham Kuradhi Vachalam Pangam Manga Jagarim Yat Kripa Tam Ambandi Shadim Dhyan Charana. So this is a very nice translation and purport, emphasizing the importance of women in a Vedic society, the importance of their chastity and devotion and faithfulness. Srila Prabhupada stresses in the beginning of the purport, the Vedic civilization especially prepares chaste and devoted wives, and Gandhari is one famous example. Sita Devi, other examples, Pandu's wives, Madri, and Kunti. So we can see here that personality like Gandhari, she was so chaste and devoted to her husband, as was the training in the Vedic culture, that even though he left home, so-called comfortable situation, you know, beautiful palace surrounded by all the great souls like the Pandavas, and you know, great ministers, spiritual ministers like Vidura, her husband Dhritarashtra left home after receiving these instructions from Vidura, these very cutting instructions we've been hearing about. Dhritarashtra finally made the determination that it was useless staying home any longer. His body was completely fallen apart, almost about to die, and he was living like a shameless dog. So he eventually left home, and we see that the greatness of his wife, that she left immediately and followed her husband and went to the Himalayas. So this is, now this position is can understand, is like very austere, being in such a comfortable position, all of a sudden leaving that household life and going to the Himalayas, living in the forest, amongst the animals, in the wild, amongst the elements. It's a great, great austerity. It's for a man, it's such a great austerity. What to speak of a lady? Who could perform such austerities? None of us could perform such austerities, especially in Kali Yuga. So Srila Prabhupada said that we don't have the power to perform such austerities. So our only austerities we have to perform in Kali Yuga is chanting at least 16 rounds a day and avoiding illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating and gambling. Even this in Kali Yuga we find this difficult to do, to maintain our whole life. We see, you know, many devotees fall by the wayside. But in these previous ages, they were such, what to speak of the men, even the ladies were, many of these ladies were such exalted, powerful personalities, so chaste and devoted and pure souls and very austere, that they were able to perform these great austerities. And here the verse states that for such personalities, accepting this position of vanaprastha, going to the Himalayas, is actually a delight. It's like the, you know, renounced order of life, as compared to fighters who have accepted a good lashing from an enemy. So actually fighters, especially true Kshatriyas, they like a good battle, and they like getting you know, many wounds from the enemy, and they don't mind even to die on the battlefield. They're so courageous and heroic. They'd rather die on the battlefield than give up the battle. Dishonor is worse than death, as is quoted in the Bhagavad Gita. So here we see Maharaj Dhritarashtra followed by his chaste wife. They were considering that to remain in this household situation, when they were very old and living at the cost of their nephews who had killed all their sons, living in a shameless situation, living in this situation is worse than death. So they finally decided it's better to leave for the Himalayas and take the order of Vanaprastha. So here Srila Prabhupada says, Vedic civilization especially prepares chaste and devoted wives, of whom Gandhari is one of the famous examples in history. So in modern day society we see that women are not not valued like this as very important, and rather they're seen as objects of sense gratification, for exploitation, simply for mundane sex pleasure. Everywhere we see women are advertised on billboards, half naked, to advertise some cigarette or alcohol or some object to purchase, but also to entice the men, entice men's lusty desires. But actually in the proper Vedic society, the women are considered very highly exalted souls and they have a very important position in society. Even Srila Prabhupada says the animals have an important position in Vedic society. They all living entities have their important position. So especially the human being, and not just the men, but also the women are equally as important. Srila Prabhupada in the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita, he gives us the verse Dharma Biba Vat Krishna Pradushanti Kulastriya Srishudu Stashavasa Yajati Vana Sankara. States that, what's the exact translation? Anyone, can you get a Bhagavad Gita for me? So basically, Srila Prabhupada says in the purport to that verse, it basically states that women who are not chaste are the cause of degradation in human society, leading to unwanted children. When irreligion is prominent in the family, O Krishna, the women of the family become polluted, and with the degradation of womanhood comes unwanted progeny. So Srila Prabhupada says that says chaste womanhood leads to good population in human society, which is the basic principle for peace, prosperity, and spiritual progress in life. So basically he's stating, unless women are actually chaste and faithful and devoted also on the Krishna conscious platform to Krishna, then there can be no peace in society, no prosperity, no real prosperity, real wealth is spiritual wealth, advancement in Krishna consciousness in the society of the living beings. And there can be no spiritual progress in life. So we can see this modern day society in Kali Yuga, which is full of unwanted progeny and unchaste women and unchaste men, then these things are not there. There's no peace and happiness in society. There's no prosperity. Even materially, there's so much lack. Some countries may have some so-called wealth temporarily, but because they're exploiting these material facilities, then eventually it will be taken away from them. Just like Srila Prabhupada said, there's so many great nations have come and gone. The Roman civilization, the Greek civilization, Egyptian, American civilization. But because they misused the material wealth for their own sense of gratification, for exploitation, and not for the service of Krishna, then that wealth was eventually taken away and their whole civilizations were destroyed. And we can see even in the world today, even though some so-called advanced nations have some material wealth and prosperity, there's many nations around the world that are completely lacking even in material facilities, what to speak of spiritual wealth and progress in life. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada in this purport in the Bhagavad Gita, in the first chapter, he talks about how the Varnashram system, the principles were so designed that the good population would prevail in society for the general spiritual progress of state and community. So that the leaders of such a Vedic society, they would engage the women and Srila Prabhupada says children as well, in religious activities, because Srila Prabhupada said that women and children are prone to be misled. They're easily misled. That if they're engaged in religious activities, spiritual activities, then the women won't be prone to degradation and adultery. And then they will become chaste, chaste to Krishna, chaste to their husbands. Of course, there's always some women who may not get married, but not sure what Prabhupada would say, if Krishna doesn't give you a husband or you don't take a husband, then you can marry Krishna. The women can marry Krishna. So if the women are engaged in spiritual activities and they're chaste to the process of Krishna consciousness or chaste to their husband, then there'll be no chance of, or very little chance of, adultery. But Srila Prabhupada said when women are not chaste and faithful, and they're not trained in Krishna consciousness and not engaged in religious activities, then they're prone to be exploited by unscrupulous men and in adultery at the risk of unwanted population. And Srila Prabhupada says this unwanted population causes pestilence and war in the world. So we can see that's the result in modern day society. So many unwanted children, and there's so much war and pestilence and disturbance in society. And Srila Prabhupada says that such a population, a Vedic population, depends on the chastity and faithfulness of the womanhood. So how important, we can see, is the role of the women in a Vedic society. Can either send the society to hell, or if they're properly trained and Krishna conscious, then it can elevate chaste women. Faithful women can help elevate the whole human society and bring about generations after generations of children who can elevate the whole society to a level of Krishna consciousness and going back home, back to Godhead. And Srila Prabhupada would quote Chanakya Pandit that the women, they always need protection. We can see in this modern day society, because they're not protected, then they become exploited. They're not properly protected by their fathers, by their husbands, by their sons. But actually women always require protection, either by the fathers when they're young, by their husbands when they're married, and when they're old, if the husband has taken sannyas or passed away, by the sons. Or if no sons, then by the daughters or by a society of Krishna conscious people. So as devotees, we shouldn't carry on this mentality that people have in materialistic society, that they're totally abusing and exploiting the women. In Krishna consciousness, we should give equal opportunities for the women as well as the men to engage in devotional practices, and respect the women just like the men, that all of us have the opportunity to become pure devotees. The women can advance just as much as men, become highly exalted souls just like the men. And we see in our movement, there's many examples of exalted women and ladies who are very pure-hearted souls, very great preachers, very devoted to Krishna, doing so much service. So it's possible for anyone in this Krishna consciousness movement to achieve the highest perfection of life, pure love for Krishna, achieving all the good qualities, and going back home, back to Godhead. And we can understand anyone especially who has taken to Krishna consciousness, it's due to some previous pious activity or devotional service we've rendered in our past life. As the Bhagavatam states, Aho Bhatasva Pachoto Gariyan, that, oh, how glorious are those whose tongues are chanting the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It's considered in their previous life they've executed all austerities, studied all the scriptures, bathed in all the holy places, performed pious sacrifices like this. So it's not an ordinary person who comes to Krishna consciousness. Even those who have not fully taken up Krishna consciousness, but maybe they come, they visit the temple, they take part in some devotional activities, they're great souls. Anyone just to walk in this door. Of course, we respect all living entities. We try to respect and we're trained up to respect all living entities in the world as devotees. But especially we have to give respect to those who are coming to the temples, and especially for those who have fully taken up Krishna consciousness. And it's very enlivening to see not only men, but to see many ladies. It's very enlivening to see many ladies fixed in Krishna consciousness, and sometimes we have the great fortune of hearing from the ladies preaching and giving classes. It's very enlivening. Because it's actually more difficult. Srila Prabhupada would teach that, generally women are, they're mind, mentally, essentially, they're weaker than the men, physically. It's not easy for them. It's more difficult to stay fixed in Krishna consciousness. Generally the female body has more material desires, is prone to more material desires. Generally the female body is not so suitable as a man's body for austerities. And especially we see when ladies in Krishna consciousness have children, it's difficult. It's very difficult to keep up practices of Krishna consciousness. But if we see the ladies, they're having children and they're still engaging in devotional service, still chanting the rounds, still coming to the temple regularly, it's very glorious. It's very inspiring. I know with my wife, we've got two little children, and it's difficult for her. Sometimes she finds it difficult just to chant her rounds, like every day, and what to speak of doing other services. And sometimes she chants 16 rounds or more. Sometimes she finds it hard just to chant a few rounds a day. But Srila Prabhupada would say, for the ladies, their real service, if they have children, is raising the children, making sure that they're brought up nicely, and making sure they're Krishna conscious, trained in Krishna consciousness. This is like their deity worship. And if they can still keep up their sadhana and go to the temple at the same time, that's very glorious. My wife, she tries to go every day to the temple. She likes to go for the Guru Puja and class every day till we take the children to the farm, New Govinda. It's pretty difficult for her to get up from Mangalati. Sometimes she does that on festivals. She gets the kids up from Mangalati and we all go together. The kids sleep in the temple. So there's one story, just to relate to the position of women, especially if they have children. There was one man, one husband, and he was working hard all day, and he was thinking, my wife's just got it very easy. She's just at home all day. She just doesn't have to work. She can just relax at home. And so he was thinking, my Lord Krishna, can I switch roles? So he prayed to Krishna, my dear Lord, can you switch our roles? And so the Lord fulfilled his desire, and he became the woman, he became the wife, the mother, and she became the father and husband. And so all day long he was experiencing the role of the mother. You know, all day long changing nappies, feeding the babies, and doing the washing and cleaning the house. And at the end of the day, he in the female body was thinking, wow, this is very, very difficult. I don't know if I can do this more than one day. And at the end of the day, you know, the wife, as the father, came home from work. And there was some intimacy. And there was some romance. And then the next day, the man in the body of the female, he prayed to the Lord, "My dear Lord, this is just too hard, it's too difficult, I can't do this anymore. Can you please switch me back?" And the Lord said, "I'm sorry, now you have to wait 9 months." So as men, we should have great respect for the ladies who are taking to Krishna consciousness, especially if they're taking on family life and having children. It's a very difficult situation, and they're very... If they can keep up their Krishna consciousness, keep up their practices, this is very, very glorious. And of course, some ladies, they also choose not to marry and have children. This is also, if they can stay in Krishna consciousness, this is also very glorious. And as the whole ISKCON movement, then these ladies who don't have husbands, we have to give them protection as a whole society as well. The example of going back to Gandhari, she was, you know, we read about here her many great qualities. She also voluntarily accepted the austerity of being voluntarily being blind. Because Dhritarashtra, he was materially blind from birth. So when she married him, she accepted the austerity of being blind by blindfolding herself for the rest of her life. And I believe, I understand, there was only one time when she took the blindfold off. There was a story when she was desiring to try and make Duryodhan, her elder son's body, like invincible. She had such great powers that by her vision she could transform like an ordinary material body into iron. So she said to Duryodhan, "You come to me, you come to be naked with no clothes on, and I will take my blindfold off, and by my vision, I will make your body just like iron, like invincible. You won't be able to be destroyed by any warrior." And so Duryodhan, he was in the palace, and one day he was going to Gandhari with no clothes on. And Krishna happened to be there in the palace. Krishna knew exactly what was going on. And so he said, "What are you doing? This is not the Vedic culture. You cannot approach a woman naked. You can only be naked in front of your wife." And he said, "At least you should put a gumsha on before going before your mother." So Duryodhan, he became bewildered, and he listened to the instruction of Krishna. And he put a gumsha on. So when he came before Mother Gandhari, she was very upset. She said, "No, now I can't totally make your body invincible by any kshatriya." So, but she, by her vision, she made the rest of his body like invincible, like steel, but that bottom section around the groin was not invincible. So we all know the story that when he was on the battlefield at the end of the war, he was fighting with Bhima, And the battle was almost equal for many. Was it many days they were fighting? Anyone remember? But it was a long time they were fighting, and not one could get superiority above the other. But Krishna, he gave the hint to Bhima. The only way he could defeat Duryodhana was by hitting him on the waist. So he slapped his thighs to indicate. And normally in Kshatriya codes and Kshatriya warfare, this is not allowed, to hit below the waist. But Bhima, he followed the instructions of Krishna and he smashed Duryodhana below the waist, and Duryodhana lost his life. Here Srila Prabhupada also talks about the different types of sannyasis, the Mayavadi sannyasis and the Vaishnava sannyasis. The Mayavadi sannyasis, they have a danda called ekadanda. It's just got like one point, because they think that actually they are one with Krishna and the goal of life is to become one with God. Or they think they can become God. Whereas the Tridandi Swamis, they have Tridanda, which means it's got three prongs, indicating they're trying to devote their mind, body and words for the pleasure of Krishna. And he says that, Srila Prabhupada says that, whereas the Ekadandi Mayavadi Swamis are fond of going to the Himalayas, the Vaishnava Sannyasis are fond of going to Vrindavan and Puri. Dhritarashtra was advised to follow the path of the Dira, like the Mayavadi Sannyasis. It's very difficult for him to become a Narottama, like a Vaishnava, because he hadn't practiced Krishna consciousness throughout his life. Very difficult to take up Krishna consciousness, full bhakti yoga, if you haven't practiced Krishna consciousness throughout your life. Like, there was a story of an old man. He was on his deathbed and he was speaking so much nonsense, as old men do when even on their deathbed, when they're not trained in Krishna consciousness. And all the relatives are around him thinking, no, they weren't trained in Krishna consciousness, so they were just waiting for him to die to get his money. So then he stopped talking, he couldn't speak anymore. And they said to the doctor, can you give him some injection to make him speak again? So they had to pay $5,000. And the doctor gave him an injection, he started speaking again. And he just started speaking normal village guitar, village talk. And make sure you look after the household affairs, like that. So this is the people who are not in Krishna consciousness. It's very difficult for them to take up Krishna consciousness in old age. So Dhritarashtra, he was like this. There was no chance for him to become like a Narottam, but at least he became a Dira, which is also glorious. He became like a Vanaprastha. And as the verse states that those who have accepted the staff of the renounced order are like fighters who have accepted a good lashing from an enemy. So he was like this. He was fighting his material desires and attachments. And he accepted the lashings, like from Vidura. Vidura is like saintly devotee. The saintly devotees are like the enemies of the materialists. But he accepted these lashings for his benefit and understood finally that this was for his benefit. And Mother Gandhari followed his footsteps. So similarly, we may be all like Dhritarashtra in materialistic life, but if we take the instructions from the saintly personalities, accept these good lashings of the Krishna conscious preachers for our benefit, then we can make advancement in spiritual life. So by practicing Krishna consciousness, by preaching, we quite often get lashes from the enemy, especially when we're preaching. When you're preaching, you become very humble, and It's easy to become humble and tolerant because you get many lashings from the enemy. Many people out there, when you preach, they just neglect you. Sometimes they deride you. So the devotee is doing the highest work preaching Krishna consciousness, but we have to be very tolerant and compassionate and patient with the conditioned souls. And we have to help understand that this is the best benefit they can get, is getting this process of Krishna consciousness, getting Srila Prabhupada's books. Srila Prabhupada said these books are the basis in which our whole movement is spread upon, based upon. And this preaching is the essence. Purity is the force. If we have purity and by training in Krishna consciousness, if we just preach and use these books to preach, spread Krishna consciousness, then we'll become very enlivened and automatically this Krishna consciousness movement will increase. Srila Prabhupada considered the book distribution the most important activity, the most powerful activity to spread Krishna consciousness. Like the Brihat Mridanga, the kirtan, it's very powerful. Like when we go out in the street, that's also very powerful. Chanting with the instruments can be heard for like a block or two. But the Brihat Mridanga, spreading these transcendental literatures in human society, is like the Brihat Mridanga. The Mridanga, the waves of kirtan can be spread far and wide. So as the Bhagavatam says, this Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna Svadharma Bhagavatam, is more brilliant than the sun. And it has arisen after the departure of Krishna for his own abode. And persons who have lost their vision in this dense darkness of the age of Kali shall get light from this Bhagavat Purana. Srila Prabhupada said this literary incarnation of Krishna, the Srimad Bhagavatam, is meant for the re-spiritualization of the whole human society. Tadvag Vishago Janatag Viplavo. On the other hand, those literatures which are full of description of the words, full of words of description of the names, forms, qualities and pastimes of Krishna, are transcendental literatures meant for the uplifting the misdirected civilization in this age of Kali. Such literatures are heard and accepted by purified men who are thoroughly honest. So, Srila Prabhupada said this preaching, especially book distribution, is our family business. We should all be engaged in this family business. Whether we're full-time distributing these books or part-time, Srila Prabhupada wanted all devotees to go out sometime, at least 1 hour a day or one day a week, distributing these books. And trying to take other devotees out, trying to take as many devotees as possible out for preaching. Because the more devotees that go out, the more books can be disseminated in human society. And we should be in the mood that this is actually fun. This is ecstatic, going out, being amongst the people, being friendly to people, being merciful to people, being considerate to people in their circumstances. We can have a lot of fun doing books. We can do Harinam. Also, you know, sometimes devotees set up book tables and we have a team like in Byron Bay. Every week we go out once a week, take the families and brahmacharis, and we set up a book table. We give out prasadam. Some devotees are doing books. Some devotees are doing kirtan in the park. Some devotees giving out prasadam. Some of the mothers are playing on the swings with the kids. It's like a whole fun day, you know, family day. Then we all go to the restaurant, we get free prasadam, go to the beach for a swim. So it can be a fun activity. We should see it like this. And we should understand, have faith that these transcendental literatures, they have their own potency. They're Krishna himself. They're full of description of Krishna's names, forms, qualities, pastimes. They're actually Krishna himself. They're personalities. They're like the literary incarnation of Krishna for this age. So if we just have faith in these transcendental literatures that they have the direction they want to go, they want to go into different people's homes, we just have to be the instrument and go out and tried to work in our spiritual master's hands to give out these literatures, and Krishna himself will make arrangements to go to different people. Just like I met some, I've even met Christian people who have taken books. One lady, she was having a look at the Bhagavad Gita, and then she said, finally, I don't think I can take it, I'm a Christian. I said, well, that's okay, just if you can give a donation. So she like gave a $100 donation. I said, well, I think you should take the book. And she said, yeah, okay, I'll accept it. Another Christian lady, she said, she gave like $40, and she said, you know why I'm taking this book? So no one else can get the book. I was in Melbourne a while ago, and I was parked in the city, and this van pulled in front of me, and he was like a builder, and he had a ladder, and some sort of worker, and he had a ladder in the back of his van, and he pulled out the ladder, and he went to work, and he came. I was chanting a few rounds, and he came back half an hour later, and he just, as he put his ladder back in the van, he nicked the front of the car, and I got out, and it was just a small scratch, and I didn't get upset with him, but I just said, no, you just have to be careful, you know. And I said, Hare Krishna, you know, here, have a look, I've got something for you. So I showed him a book. And he took a book, and as we were speaking, he said, you know what, I actually worked on your farm at New Govardhan 30 years ago, and I was there living for months. And I was getting up early every day, 4:30, for the morning program, and I was doing the marble work on the floor. And he took a book and gave a donation. So you just don't know who these books are going to go to. Sometimes I've done books in pubs, in a Dhoti and Kurta even, and sometimes just talk to the people on the poker machines, you know. I've sold a number of books to people on the poker machines before they slip that 20 in. They give it to you and take a book. Sometimes they say, well, it's better I give it to you than give it to the machine. One time I was had a book table on the street, and this crazy guy came along, and he wanted to I had an Ever Well Wisher on the table, and he wanted that book, but he had no money. I said, well, you know, you can't just take it for free, you have to give a donation, you know. But he sort of picked up the book off the table and started walking down the street. I said, now hang on, you have to give a donation. I said, here, have some of this pudding. Just wait a while and I'll give you some of this pudding. So I had a pot of halva, and he ate like 6 cups of halva. And he said, can I get the book now? And I said, there was an Indian man, he was buying a lot of books off the table. And then I said, can you give a few extra coins? This man wants this book and he's got no money. So he reached into his pocket and just chucked in a whole lot of coins in the bucket. I said, there you go, you can have the book now. This man, he happily walked off the street with the book. One time I was in America with a dear devotee friend of mine, Brigapati Prabhu. Some of you may know Brigapati. He's about 60, he's been doing books for like 40 years. And he had to sell this old car from the temple, so we went to the wreckers. And there was like this Indian man running the wreckers. And I showed him like a Bhagavad Gita. And he said, oh, I'm not interested in that philosophy, you know. Then I pulled out a Krishna book. I said, this beautiful story is about Krishna. He said, oh, I love Krishna. Okay, I'll take the book, you know. And he gave a nice donation. And then while I was waiting for Brigu to like sell the car, I was walking around the wreckers, the wrecking yard, like all the people driving in to sell give their cars to the wreckers. And it was quite good. So, you know, wherever we go, we should always have books, and Krishna will make some arrangement for these books to go out. A year or so ago, I was down at Geelong. It was just a small town there called Barwon Heads. Tiny little town. There was no one on the street, but I was doing shop to shop. And this lady in a news agent. Normally, people in news agents, they're not interested in the books. They don't take any books. But this lady, she'd had some contact with the temple. And
She said, yeah, I'd like to get a lot of books, and I'll get some for the shop, and I'll get some for myself. And she bought like, you know, $500 worth of books. She was going to sell some in the shop, and she wanted some for herself. And then across the road, this lady in a shop, she bought a whole lot of books, and she said, you know what, I used to go out with a brother of one of your devotees. And she said, and I said, oh yeah, who was the devotee? And she said, oh, his name was Atmaram. He's like our old temple president from Sydney. So this lady, she used to go out with his brother. She bought a lot of books. So I just had a couple of I was going to show you a couple of photos, but maybe I didn't bring my phone with me. Oh, here it is. It's in here. So if we spread Krishna consciousness, if we preach Krishna consciousness, then all these people who are like, Prabhupada said, all these people in Kali Yuga are like Dhritarashtras, Dhritarashtra mentality. They can be completely lifted up out of this Dhritarashtra consciousness and elevated to the highest, topmost position of love of Krishna in a very short amount of time. And we're all examples of that. We were like Jagai Madhos, Dhritarashtras, and now we're on the topmost path with the chance of going back home, back to God in one short lifetime. So there's just a couple of pictures there. You can just show them around. If some people who got books, just you can flick onto the next one. There's another one there too. So also, this time of the year is Govardhan Puja. Next week you're having Govardhan Puja here. Unfortunately, some of us have to leave today, so we'll miss Govardhan Puja here. And yesterday they had Govardhan Puja at New Govardhan, so we missed it there as well. But actually, we're going to my wife and I are going to do a little Govardhan Puja up in our house on Thursday, which is the actual day. So some of the devotees will be fortunate to be able to. Prabhupada is going to come along. So it's a very special time of the year. So we should meditate on Krishna's pastimes, lifting Govardhan Hill, read these stories, absorb these pastimes in our consciousness, and take full benefit of these festivals. Srila Prabhupada said these festivals are like mother of devotion. And actually, I'm assisting devotees in Govardhan or Vrindavan in building a new school there. Probably a lot of you have heard about the Sandipani Muni schools in Vrindavan, started by the Rupa Raghunath, the Italian Rupa Raghunath in Vrindavan. So they've already got three schools there, and they have 1,000 students in each. And their goal is they go to like the poorest of the poor, the villages around Braj, and they give those children who are really suffering a chance to, you know, get good education materially and spiritually, and, you know, get free prasadam. They get free education, free prasadam, free clothing, free medical checkups in a school taught by devotees. And, you know, they have a temple on all the schools, so they have a morning program. When we were there in Vrindavan recently, we went to like the Guru Puja, and there's like 1,000 kids in the courtyard dancing around, young little kids, 5 to 10. Admittedly, they pull you into the kirtan, dance around with you, you know. And they're all like wearing tilak and neck beads, and they're chanting. So they're building a new school at Govardhan on the Parakram path. And Bir Krishna Goswami, he's the spiritual master of my wife, this is like, he's very inspired by this project, and he's inspired one of his disciples in Australia to do the fundraising in Australia, most of the fundraising in Australia for this new school. And it's very heart-touching, because even some of these young little children, they're coming from families where they've been abandoned, actually. They're little babies, they've been abandoned, they've been thrown out in the fields, especially the girls, because unfortunately in India they have this dowry system where the parents, when the girls get married, they have to give a huge dowry, a huge amount of money. And some of the families, they just feel they can't afford to give such a dowry when the girl grows up. So they actually abandon the girls and just leave them as little babies in the fields. And the devotees in these schools are finding these little children, like a few months old, in the fields, about to die. And they pick them up and save them. And they bring them to the school, and they give them, you know, heaps of milk from the cow, because the schools also have goat shells as well, so they're getting fresh cow's milk, and they bring these children up right through their schooling years. So it's very heart-rending. So there's a new school project going up in Govardhan. So we're fundraising in Australia. One disciple of Tamal Krishna, she pledged to give $30,000 for the temple structure, Kirtan Hall in the new school. So I'll just pass this around, you can have a look. It's just about the new school going up and about the existing schools. If you want to get involved when you go to Braj, when you go to Govardhan, you can go to the existing schools and do some service in the schools, do some voluntary service, get involved with the children. And then you can also assist in the fundraising, or you can give donations yourselves. Or if you know others who might be inspired by this project, you can also inspire them as well. So while it's going around, does anyone have any questions or comments? We can just read the verse again. The gentle and chaste Gandhari, who was the daughter of King Subala of Kandahar, or Gandhara, followed her husband, seeing that he was going to the Himalayan mountains, which are the delight of those who have accepted the staff of the renounced order, like fighters who have accepted a good lashing from the enemy. Any questions? Comments?
Do you find the lady who are doing the inner service, they're very sincere? That's necessarily not in the same way.
Well, actually, Srila Prabhupada says, and if you go to any religious society, like, you know, a temple or a church or a mosque, generally the ladies are coming more than the men, and generally the ladies are more sincere and coming for the programs and rendering service, and quite often the men are just hanging outside, just socializing.
Yeah.
So it's a fact. It's a good quality that ladies have. They're very simple by nature. Very, quite often, more humble than men. And it's more easy for them to just simply accept Krishna consciousness. They don't have any philosophical hang-ups or deviations. They're not so philosophical. Men have different good qualities in a male body as well that we can take advantage of, but also females have certain good qualities which they can take advantage of specifically for advancing Krishna consciousness. Thank you. We can say it has two sides. It has a negative side, that is, you know, there's so much misery and suffering on the material level, and if one doesn't take to Krishna consciousness, then he's prone to, you know, repeated birth and death again. So that's like a miserable situation for the living entity. But at the same time, we can say the material world also has a positive side, because it's set up in such a way by Krishna that even in this material world, we can get the association of saintly people, we can get access to the scriptures, We can get access to the temples of the Lord. Krishna has given all these arrangements at the same time, and even in this dark and material world. So there's a lot of positive things also in this world that we can take advantage of for becoming happy in this life, becoming peaceful, becoming free of anxieties, becoming purified, becoming Krishna conscious, even while living in a material body in this world, and then going back to the highest destination, back to the spiritual world. So we know, like Srila Prabhupada says, like a thorn that causes no infection in your body, it can be plucked out by another thorn. So one thing, like material body used for sense gratification, causes misery and repeated birth and death. But that same body, when used in Krishna conscious activities, is the source of liberation and becoming fully Krishna conscious. Srila Prabhupada also says the example of milk. You know, if you take too many milk products, you get like dysentery or some sickness. But you can get cured by that sickness by taking milk in the form of curd or yogurt. Like everyone has experienced, right? When if you go to India, you get sick eating too much, you get dysentery. But the cure, you know, you take some yogurt and maybe some rice and bananas, and that yogurt like kills the bacteria and then fixes the sickness. Is that right?
The temple, the chanting, the association of devotees, and our argument was that we should be forthright, therefore, to tell the people how wonderful those things are.
Yeah.
Because really, we're not just emphasizing the material place as a place of death, but it's a considered Shastras as a wonderful opportunity here in the Mitri Loka, isn't it? Like the middle country system, because it's far too easy. The Lashans are not so strong in that higher planetary system.
Yeah.
And therefore, we can see the good and the bad in things with a discerning eye. And that is a positive thing to do, isn't it?
Yeah.
To see the good and bad, not just to emphasize the good and only see good, which is possible.
Yeah.
You really try to put the blinkers on really what unfortunate situations some people do have in this world.
Well, but no, we can also say, well, there's everything's part of Krishna's creation, so it's all good, you know, it's all wonderful. It can all be used in Krishna's service. Practically, we can, Srila Prabhupada taught to dovetail anything in Krishna's service, you know. So even though, like, you might like to go bushwalking in the forest, but you can chant Hare Krishna while you're bushwalking, you know, or you can appreciate this beautiful forest. The nature is coming from Krishna. It can help you remember the form of Krishna. Like if we see Mahatma's shoes outside the door, but we don't see Mahatma, just by seeing his shoes, we can think of the form of Mahatma. So when we see Krishna's beautiful creation, the forest, the sun, the moon, the rivers, it can remind us of the form, the personality of Krishna. Anything else? Okay. You can pass that around if other devotees want to have a look. So we'll finish there. Thank you very much for your attention. Srila Prabhupada ki. Srila Bhagavatam ki. Jai. 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 Jai.